days in the Kutumar Perikarach. A one-minute review of what we had last week, because it's going to pertain to something we're going to mention now. Rabbeinu had mentioned, we had said last week, Rabbeinu started off this Torah by saying that a person many times is suddenly aroused to a thought of wanting to come close to Hashem, and then the thought seems to ebb away from him to the point where, as he's traveling, getting closer to the Tzaddik Emes, or getting closer to whatever goal he was reaching for, suddenly he sees himself, the Yetzer Hara works against him, and he sees himself cooling off, becoming cooler and cooler and cooler, until he gets to the Tzaddik Emes himself at the time when he needs all his power, all his momentum and everything, and suddenly there's no power at all. He's just cold, ice cold. He has nothing to do. He comes to the tzaddik. He has nothing to ask him. He doesn't even know what he's doing there. He has no thirst to get anything. So Rabbeinu Zal said you should know that the reason for this is because when a person gets this initial urge to come close to Hashem, in doing that, he kills his Yetzer Hara completely. And the Gemara says that when a person is greater, that a person who's greater than his friend has a greater Yetzer Hara than his friend, meaning that when a person rises to a new level in Kiddusha, the Yetzer Hara that he had before leaves him, he's given a brand new Malach to contend with. This is why he finds that it's difficult. And Rabbeinu Zal says, why are we telling you this? In other words, are we just telling you this? You know, this isn't show and tell, where we're just telling you, discussing problems. We're telling you this so that you should know in advance that this engine requires constant pumping. It's not the kind of thing where you think that your trip, your ascent to Kiddusha, is the kind of thing where you're sitting in a car, you floor the gears once for 5 seconds, and then you're going to coast for the next 100 miles. That's an idiot. He doesn't realize that the car is so heavy, there's so much force going against him, that the car will coast maybe for a half a mile or whatever and come to a dead halt. Unless he keeps his foot on the gears the whole time, that's when the car will flow smoothly to get to wherever he wants to go. In Kiddusha, it's the same thing. A person has to constantly feed the engine, warm it up, push with whatever kaychas he has to come close to Hashem in order to be able to contend with the new malachim that keep facing him each time he gets to a higher level. And I want to do something inside. I quoted this a few times in Shirim, and it's significant enough to learn inside. If you'll turn to the back, to the Mei HaNachal, which is one of the last Mefarshim that's quoted in this Sefer, on this Torah, he brings a beautiful short item. It gives you a little insight as to what type of tzaddikim we're talking about when we talk about the leadership of Breslov, Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, Rav Moshe Zal's Talmidim, what kind of class we're talking about. The Mei HaNachal, Torah Ayin Beis. Okay, he starts off with the words, and note how this is there's a certain closeness even in the way that this is presented. Shomati b'shem Horav, etc., etc. Horav Nachman Zecher Tzadik Levrocha Av Bezdin Mitzigrin. I heard it told over in the name of Rav Nachman Shigrin Zal. Shepirish haposik, his interpretation to a posik in Tehillim. Which posik? The pasuk says, "Tzoma lecho nafshi, koma lecho besori, be'eretz tziyo v'oyev b'limoyim." Dovid HaMelech says, "Hashem, my soul thirsts for you when I find myself in a dry land and I find myself in a desert, and I'm very tired and I'm without water." And then Dovid HaMelech says, "Kein b'kodesh chazisicha lirois uzcho chvaydecha." Hainu, Rav Nachman Shigrin Zal explained this way. There are times when a person has an urge for doing tshuva, a thought of tshuva, and he gets aroused to go to the tzaddik, so that the tzaddik should show him how to come close to Hashem. In other words, he's going to the tzaddik with what purpose in mind, that he's going to open up to the tzaddik. In other words, what's required in order for a tzaddik to be able to give a person guidance, advice, and what to do? The person has to be capable of opening up, pouring out his whole heart, telling the tzaddik all his troubles, Baruch Nisa B'Gashmias, letting him know exactly what his situation is, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in Tera Dalid, and based on that, the tzaddik shows him a derech and avodas Hashem for himself. The person has to have vidui dvarim. He has to notify the tzaddik of every single detailed problem that he's having, Baruch Nias, whether it pertains to his spleidus, tikkun abris, whatever it is. And if he's capable of doing that, the tzaddik will show him a derech to come close to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal says at times when a person becomes, or else, the person comes to the tzaddik and he comes there for any reason other than that, and he finds that he's toyed with. He walks out and then he thinks back, what did I get? I came in there, it looked great, I was standing around just like everybody else, and the question is, what did I leave with? What did I come out with, out of all the time that I spent with the tzaddik? So Rav Nachman Shigrinzal here says, V'achakach kishebola hatzadik noifel mechashikosoi. The person who is all fired up to come to the tzadik, when he gets to the tzadik, he finds that he loses his cheshik. V'alkein tzrichen levakesh me'Hashem yisborach ma'oid ma'oid. Therefore, a person has to beg of Hashem very, very much. Shelo yipoil mehirhure tshuvo umehakisufin hakdeshin gam achakach kishiovoi latzadik. That this urge that he feels suddenly now boiling in him to come close to Hashem and everything, he has to beg Hashem that he should be zeichet to maintain this same feeling even after he gets to the tzadik. This is the explanation to the pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech ba'eis shehoya rochayik me'Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech at that time was out of Eretz Yisrael. He had been chased out of Eretz Yisrael. He was running for his life, and he was at a distance from Eretz Yisrael. And he said to Omar, he said to Hashem, Tzoma lecho nafshi, my nefesh thirsts for you, be'eretz tzio v'oyef, haynu b'midbor. Now I'm in a desert, shas she'ani rochoik me'Eretz Yisrael. Now that I find myself very distant from Eretz Yisrael, I'm distant from civilization, kosef lecho nafshi ma'oid, my soul thirsts for Eretz Yisrael, it thirsts for Hashem, it thirsts for coming close to Kiddusha. So David HaMelech, at that time, at that moment, when he felt this urge, he said to Hashem, "Kein b'kodesh chazisicha," meaning, "Hainu kein ezkel hakisufin ho'ele gam kishe ezkel roischa b'kodesh," meaning, "Kishe echzor l'Eretz Yisrael." So too, I should be zeichet to thirst for the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, even after I arrive in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo epoel mehakisufin l'haylam. I shouldn't fall away from this thirst, from these yearnings, forever. And this is a point each person has to sit down and evaluate himself, make a din v'cheshbon, and ask himself where he's holding in this item, even after he has come to the Tzadik Emes, and he's heard Torah from the Tzadik Emes and everything. Does he feel that same feeling that he felt in the beginning, that awareness that he's so empty, so void, and that Tzadik has everything to offer to him, and it requires a thirst, a yearning desire, a burning desire of wanting to come close to Kedusha to be able to receive from the Tzadik? If that desire is not there, there's no kelim in which to receive. This piece is a very interesting item, and I'm positive that it's specifically this little piece here that made Rebbe Zal like that niggun so much, a niggun that he heard in Eretz Yisrael that someone was singing with the Shabbos Milos, the niggun that we sing sometimes in the morning, Kein b'kodesh chaz. That's this pasuk here that we're quoting here, because Reb Nachman Shigrinzal spoke in this manner about this pasuk. This, in a sense, summarizes the whole concept of Breslov, the whole concept of religion, coming close to Hashem, what it requires. It requires a very powerful yearning. It requires constantly keeping your foot on the gas pedal. You have to realize that the moment you take your foot off the gas, you'll coast for a few minutes or a few days, then you come to a dead halt and you go nowhere. And a person who's aware of this knows what precautions to take. Okay, now let's go back to where we left off. And if possible, no interruptions until we get to the end. We have a very flowing piece on Likutei Moran. We're going to try to explain it very well. If anybody will have any questions, they'll ask it as soon as we get to the end.
Just on this pasuk, the part where it starts saying, "Kein b'kodesh chazisicha," that's the part we're showing.
No, the niggun goes reversed. The wording in the pasuk, I believe, is "Tzom alecho nafshi, kam alecho b'sori, be'eretz tzio v'oy v'limoyim, kein b'kodesh chazisicha." In other words, the "kein b'kodesh" comes afterwards.
That's the point where we're saying "kein b'kodesh chazisicha." That's what we're saying, that we hope that we have the power.
Exactly. Kein b'kodesh, even after I've entered into Kedusha, that's what he's saying. Kein b'kodesh, when I arrive at Kedusha ready, I should have chazisicha, I should see you in the same manner that I thought. In other words, when a person is yearning for Eretz Yisrael, it's like a dream, and it's a fabulous thing. Then he goes on the plane, he gets there, and suddenly, I wonder what happened. And when I was in New York, when I was davening for everything, it seemed like such a spectacular event, and here I'm here. Where's the, you know, why is it that it cooled off? The answer is you should know that that's the nature in Kiddusha, that you feel a tremendous desire when you're away from it, and when you come to it, suddenly you feel a coolness. Why? Because there's a whole new Malach. The Malach that you had over there, you left behind. You're dealing with a new Malach who's equal to you on this level now, and unless you work very hard to be machnia him, to pour on the gas, to daven real hard now, to be zeche, to be like you were then, it doesn't come by itself. Okay, Rabbi Nizal says now, let's go through this piece and listen very carefully. Kiyesh kamo b'chinois b'yetzahara. There are many different types of yetzahara. Kiyesh b'nei odom nemuchim migushamim. There are many people who are very low and very physical type people, shehayetzahora shelahem hu gam kein yetzahora nomoch umegusham. Their yetzahora is also a very low level type angel and a very physical type of angel. The horoiv, Rabbi Nazar says, the majority of people, hayetzahora shelahem heim hadamim biatzmon. Their yetzahora, when we use the term yetzahora, it doesn't even really refer to an angel. It simply refers to a section of bad blood that's within their body. Hainu hadam shebechol hasmoli, the blood that's in the left ventricles, the left side of the heart, shehu betakfoy, which is very powerful within them, and that's what causes them to sin. The ikar bilbulim shelohem, and the main confusion that they face in wanting to come close to Hashem, the problems and difficulties that they face, me akiras umi bilbul hadamim, come from a spoilage and confusion of the bloods. Ube'emes, note every word here now is very handpicked in what Rabbi Nizal is going to say now. Ube'emes, if we wanted to be honest, mi sheyesh loy das tzach kol shehu, a person who has an iota, one iota of clear seichel, hayetzahora hazeh hu etzloy shtus godol v'shigoyen. This simple base yetzahora is a silly stupidity to him, ve'ein tzoruch shum hisgabrus lanatzeach hayisoy, and it doesn't require any major strength to overcome him. Va'afilu ma shenechshav ve'einei ha'hamoyin lenisoyen godol, and even that which is considered by the general public a very big test, kigoyin hanisoyen shel taivas niuf, for example, the test of overcoming all types of evil desires and actions related to women, hu etzlei shtus, to a person who has an iota of clear seichel, that item is really a ridiculous thing. V'loy nechshav loy l'shum nisoyon klal, and it doesn't rate even to be categorized as any type of test. It doesn't even rate to use the word test about it. Note Rabbi Nizal's words here, which means that if a person finds that this item is a test to him, imagine what kind of moron Rabbi Nizal is calling that person. Imagine Rabbi Nizal is saying, you should know that you don't even have an iota of das tzach. Kol shehu means a drop. Imagine how desperately you have to scream to Hashem, choneinu meitcha deo bina v'haskel chachma bina v'das. Rabbi Nizal just said here, and I'm sure he wasn't joking, he wasn't trying to exaggerate, he said clearly that any person who has a little bit of clear seichel, this item is no big test to him. It's nothing. He wouldn't even use the word test about it. Which means that if a person finds that it is a test to him, it means that that person doesn't possess one iota of clear seichel. Rabbi Nizal says, Kimi sheyesh loy shum das, a person who has an iota of das, v'yodea ma'at migidulas adaynenu habayre yisporach shemoi, and he understands a little bit of the greatness of our master Hashem, kamoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ki ani yodati ki godol Hashem va'adaynenu mikol elokim, as David HaMelech says, because I understand that Hashem is greater, Hashem our master is greater than any other items that are respected in the world. Rabbi Nizal points out, V'i'efsher lahasbir zeh loy b'chsav v'loy b'alpeh. Don't think that this concept could be described, presented, not in writing and not even verbally. Ki gedulas Hashem yisborach hu rak l'chol chad l'fum wanda n'shar b'libeh. Because the greatness of Hashem, each person understands it according to what feeling he has within his own heart. Kimoy shekosuv, according to how well he's capable of evaluating the greatness of Hashem. Kimoy shekosuv b'zayir HaKadosh, as the Zayir HaKadosh says on the Pasuk, in Mishlei Noida Basheorin Balo, her master is known within the gates. The master, the husband of Bnei Yisrael, is known within the gates, meaning, the Zayir HaKadosh says, Basheorin means Lechol Chad Lefoman de Mesha'er Belibe. Basheorin means, according to how capable you are of evaluating the greatness of Hashem, that's how well you'll understand the greatness of Hashem. It's a private item which each person has his own chush towards understanding the greatness of Hashem. A person who is capable of evaluating within his heart the greatness of Hashem, bevadai etzel zeh einoy nechshav shum dovor l'nisoyein. Certainly, by a person like this, nothing is considered a test to him. Ve'ein tzorech shum hisgabrus al zeh. And he doesn't have to work at all. There's no major effort that he has to put in to overcome an inclination to go against Hashem. Why? Because he understands the greatness of Hashem. Once you understand how great Hashem is, nobody could convince you in any way to go against this great, awesome being. Rak, Rabbeinu Zal says, however, so if that's the case, what about tzaddikim? What about a tzaddik who learns so much Torah and works so hard at himself in spite of this and everything else, where he's zeicha to be masig the greatness of Hashem on an unbelievably high level? If so, based on what we're saying here, there's no concept of Yetzirah by him. Rabbeinu Zal says, Rak, however, sheyesh b'chinas Yetzirah, there is a concept of Yetzirah, shehu malach hakodosh, which is a very, very holy angel. Va'afal pikein, and still, as holy as he is, hu yetzer hara, he is still an evil inclination. V'tzorech lehizgaber ulehimolet ma'oid mimenu, and a person has to work very, very hard to rescue himself from this malach. Meaning, Rabbeinu Zal says, what's another good word to use for yetzer hara? Hainu bechinas gevurais, bechinas dinin. We're going to use another word here now for yetzer hara, which is the word gevura, din, harshness, a concept of harshness in heaven itself, which is, in a sense, a type of yetzer hara. Now note, we mentioned many, many times that the Zohar HaKadosh says, we know that there are two names of Hashem, one basically stands for chesed, one stands for din. Yud Kei Vav Kei is chesed, Elikim is din. This is pointed out throughout the Chumash. You have it everywhere. Rashi HaKadosh keeps reminding you that wherever it says Vayomer Hashem, Hashem means kindness, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whenever it says Elokim, generally it means harshness. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Yetzer Hara is a concept of din, because the word Yitzra, which is the Aramaic word for Yetzer Hara, Yitzra Bisha, Yitzra is Begematria Esh, fire. Fire is a concept of din. Why? Because the word Elokim, when spelled out B'milui, Aleph, is written Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalid, is Begematria Esh exactly. So we see that a good synonym for this angel, the Yetzer Hara, would be Din, Givurais, Elokim, harshness. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh habar das, and this one who has been zeichet to achieve das, yesh lo zeh ha-Yetzer Hara hanal. He possesses this type of Yetzer Hara, meaning, Hainu givurais v'dinin. This tzaddik, instead of being presented with a desire for sin, he's presented with a package of dinin, a package of givurais. That's his yetzer hara. What's his mission? V'tzorich lehizgaber olav ulahamtik hadinim. The mission of these b'nei deo is, their function is, their obligation is, to sweeten this harshness. Meaning, Sheyeh rak kulei toiv, that they should see to it that there should be only good, only chesed, no din. Rabbeinu Zal says now, kimi shenichlal b'moklim shetzorech lehikolel, a person who is zeichet to rise to such a high level in Kiddusha, where he's zeichet to enter into where he's supposed to enter, to become part of what he's supposed to become part of, meaning, hainu be'ein seif, he's zeichet to be nichlal in the infinite light of Hashem, shom kulei toiv. There is only good, only chesed. In Atzilus, there's no concept of din whatsoever. Ve'ein shum din chas v'shalom. Over there is no din whatsoever. Alkein, therefore, tzorech liyois kulei toiv. Therefore, this one who has risen to this madrega of Atzilus, in a sense, he's been zeichet to das, which led him to be nichal ni'or ein soif. His mission is to see to it that any dinim that try to enter where he is, his mission is to convert it to chasodim, to sweeten the din, to make chesed out of it. Meaning, Rabbeinu Zal says, Alkein tzorech liyois kulei toiv, lahamtik kol hadvukvurois v'hadinim, shehem hayetzahara shelamala. This is the type of yetzahara that's on high, on this high level that these tzaddikim achieve. This is the type of yetzahara that they have to deal with. It's not what we think, a desire to sleep late or to eat foods that are not permissible. It's a package of dinim, a package of harshness that was aroused in heaven, that was generated in heaven. How? There are many, many different ways to create dinim, rachmana litzlan. These dinim come in package form to these b'nei deya, and their mission, their duty is to be mamtik these dinim. Period.
How do they come to him? In what type of form?
We didn't finish yet, number one, and we'll see soon. Okay, now Rabbeinu Zal explains, by the way, whenever Rabbi Zal and his shiurim stress, that emphasize the fact that Rabbeinu Zal makes a point of talking very powerfully about the greatness of David HaMelech, the fact that David HaMelech never committed any type of sin, and Shlomo HaMelech never committed any type of sin with Bas Parah or anything. This is the Torah that he's quoting. We're about to enter into that piece now. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubozeh pogam David bebas sheva." This was the incident, the type of pigam that took place between David HaMelech and Bas Sheva. Rabbeinu Zal says now, "Ki bevadai, because certainly cholilo loymar, it's forbidden completely to say she David choto begashmis, that David HaMelech committed any physical type of sin, machmas taiva chas v'shalom, due to any physical type of desire. Why is it forbidden to say that? Ki kvar omar David biatzmoi, because David HaMelech testified about himself in the Torah, where every single word is true. David HaMelech wrote, V'libi cholol bekirbi, my heart is a corpse within me, meaning, Shehorag kvar es hayetzahora hagashmi betachlis. He stated emphatically that he had annihilated completely his physical yetzahora. V'hechnia hadam shebechol asmoli, and he had weakened, he had subdued completely the blood that's in the left side of the heart. V'af shom razal, although the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Tafnun Vav Amud Aleph, says, kol hoimer David choto eino yelo toye, that a person who says that David HaMelech committed a type of sin, he's making a mistake because it wasn't really a sin. The Gemara explains that he did a slight item wrongly. This is what the Gemara says there. Rabbeinu Zal says, although the Gemara says that, afal pikein still, afilu ze ha-pegam ha-koton, v'hachet kal she'oso kemuvo. Whatever tiny mistake the Gemara seems to present that David HaMelech made, or even the Sifrei Kabbalah seem to present that he did make some type of mistake. Obviously, that mistake wasn't related in any manner to a physical desire or anything. It's not related to any spoilage of the blood, which causes this taiva of niyuf to be awakened within a person, whereby blood spoils in a manner and causes this taiva to be arised. The pigam of David HaMelech was way, way up on high, related to this harshness, this heavenly harshness, that David HaMelech was not successful in sweetening certain gvurais lamala. Hainu hagvurais vahadinim. Vigam ze, and even that Hoyo Bedakus Godoil was only in a very, very fine point. Don't think this was a simple test where he had a package of Gvurois to be Mamtik and he just failed. It was in a very, very fine, delicate item that there was a tiny, tiny pigam. Because the Gemara says itself, Ki roi hoyo bas sheva l'David, that bas sheva belonged to David HaMelech. The whole coming of Mashiach, the whole birth of Mashiach, and the whole birth of Shlomo HaMelech had to come specifically through these two. V'zeh shenemar b'David, period. Period. So we see that the Gemara does say clearly that there was no question at all regarding the fact that Hashem testified that these two were supposed to be together. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh shenemar b'David." Note, this is why the Novi says about David HaMelech that Hashem said to him, "Lo yisivne bayis lishmi, you will not be the one to build a house for my sake, ki domim rabim shofachto, because you have spilt a great deal of blood." Generally, we interpret this to refer to the fact that David HaMelech was involved in battles where people were killed. Therefore, Hashem said that type of person is not the one to build a Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash, you weren't even allowed to use metal, as we had in this week's parsha. Lo yisivne esen gozis, you weren't allowed to use any type of metal keli for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They had to use that special type of worm, because metal symbolizes tools of war, and the Beis HaMikdash is a home of peace. Yet, Rabbeinu Zal says, why does it use that word, ki domim rabim shofachta, you have spilt a lot of blood? Hainu sheloi himtik ha-gvurais. This refers to the fact that David HaMelech wasn't zeicher to be mamtik these gvurais. Note that dam, we say that yitzro is elikim. What is dam? Dam is another name of Hashem that stands for din. The name of Hashem, Ekye, which is Bino, which is din. The Achirayim of Ekye, Aleph, Aleph K, Aleph K Yud, Aleph K Yud K, is Begematria Dam, showing that Dam is also a word that refers to din, harshness. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Al Kain Lo Yizocho Livna Habayis. That's why he wasn't zeicher to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he wasn't successful completely in being mamtik all dinim. V'af shemelchemes Hashem nilcham, although factually the battles that he was waging war, battles for the sake of Hashem, for the covet of Hashem, im kol zeh still, lamalo, lamalo, bitachlis hamailo, way, way, way above, in the highest places in heavens, b'mokim shetzorech lihikolel, in the place where David HaMelech was supposed to be nichlal, haynu be'en soif, in the highest levels of the infinity of Hashem, shom kulay toiv, there it must be 100% kindness. There's no concept, there's no room for the slightest trace of din there. And v'tzorech liyos rak toiv b'li shum dinim klal. There it has to be kulay toiv without any type of din. Now the question is, how does the Beis HaMikdash fit into that item? What's the association between the Beis HaMikdash? Where do we see that the Beis HaMikdash is related to this? Anybody?
Linked what?
What did the Beis HaMikdash have in it that causes this conflict? Rabbeinu is all saying here that when you go to the highest place of Ein Sof, there you have this problem where there can only be Kulei Chesed, you can't have any trace of Din. Who says that the Beis HaMikdash was that place where it was so Ein Sof? The answer is you have proof from the Gemara itself, and from what Rabbeinu Zal says, the Gemara says in Kalim that in Eretz Yisrael, that there are 10 levels of Kedusha in the world. Eretz Yisrael is the holiest country. That's level 1. Within Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is the holiest city. Within Yerushalayim, you have this and this. And what's the 10th level of Kedusha, which is Keser, which is Ein Sof? That's the Evan Shesia, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was within the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash is this Bechina of Ein Sof, that over there it's not conceivable for a person who had any association with blood, any contact with Din, couldn't be associated to building the Beis HaMikdash. Who was the one who was Roy to build the Beis HaMikdash? Not the greatest tzaddik. Note the word that's used about Shlomo HaMelech is Chochom. The Chochom Mikolodom. Chochma is the item that's closest related to Keser. He's the one who achieved the highest level of Lavnunis, whiteness, Chesed, possible. He's the one who had to undertake this mission of building the Beis HaMikdash. It could only be the Chochom. Why? Because we're showing here that the Beis HaMikdash is an inyan of the Mokor of the Oyer Ein Sof, the Evan Shesia, which was the place of the most spectacular Hamtokas HaDin. And proof is that on Yom Kippur, when the Jews wanted their dinim sweetened, how was it done? The Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Lefnai V'Lefnim, and that's where the greatest Hamtokas HaDinim of all time took place, Bedafka over there. That's why that the Beis HaMikdash is called this place of Ein Sof, this 10th level of Kedusha, Keser itself, the Oyer Ein Sof itself, where there couldn't be any association with Din whatsoever.
So notice what we're saying, Kidam Ram Shafaf, that means both physically and spiritually.
Right. Physically, the way we interpret it, but factually it's referring to a higher sense that there was blood, that you spilled blood, meaning you weren't successful in being mamtik all the dinim that you were supposed to, in eradicating any trace of blood, any trace of dinim in Gvuras.
Wasn't there some Yiddish constantly carbonized, and there was blood, there was sprinkling
blood? The answer is that there the sprinkling of blood was specifically Hamtokas HaDinim. Minei ube, in other words, Ein HaDin Nimtak Elo B'Shalosh. Rav Moshe Zal says that's why, the question is, why do we bring animals as sacrifices to Hashem if we say the whole Hashem keeps screaming at us, don't act like a behemoth. Don't act like a behemoth. Don't commit sins with women. That's called, one who does that is called a behemoth. The answer of Moses Allah says is because Ein HaDin Nimtak Elo B'Shalosh. By you taking a behemoth and bringing it as an offering to Hashem, you're showing that you understand what you did wrong. I acted like this behemoth. I'm taking myself, I'm taking the behemoth within me, and I'm shechting it Laman Hashem, for the covet of Hashem. Ein HaDin Nimtak Elo B'Shalosh. But as far as erecting the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, that's once it was up, you can do this. The one to put it up had to be one who was pure white, no din at all, the Chacham. The one who was Chacham, the one who achieved the highest level of Chachma, which is the Keser, this whiteness, super whiteness.
What's the Rukhus?
And that's the whole concept that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur
part up here, of the dung that associated with Devon.
The fact that he wasn't mamtik certain dinim on high, that he had to combat, he wasn't successful in annihilating them completely, that's... We'll see. This is what Rabbeinu Zal is presenting so far.
And the thing at the beginning, about the fact that the Yetzer Hara for the general, I mean, even though he's presenting it, the fact that Mishesh like Da Sa Kosher, meaning to say that, you know, it seems to be something that anybody could have, but in reality, it's a tiny, tiny percentage of people who has that Das Tzak Kosher.
He tells you both items, that factually anybody could have it. Anybody who would really want to go after Das, what do we mean by go after it? Daven really hard and put your mind to it and push for it. anybody can get it. The littlest kid could overcome this taiva, where an item where he sees that a guy, he sees a girl go by, and it conjures up billions of thoughts in his mind, and you can have a little kid who has a little sechel and he could laugh. In other words, this, I can look at the same item, I could look at double that, and it wouldn't cause any reaction. Without, why? Because of a das tzach kolshehu. How do you get this das? Through Torah and through tefillah. That's the only way. If it were only learning alone that give you the das, they wouldn't put a paragraph into the Shemon Esrei of Chaneinu Meidcha Deya. What do you mean, Chaneinu Meidcha Deya? The Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mira shamayim. Learn, you'll have das. Baloney. You have to learn and daven, and through that combination, that's when you get this type of das that we're talking about here. Only through a combination of a lot of learning and a lot of davening, a person can get to this level of das where that item becomes nothing, a joke. An item which to another person is a difficult, it's actually a physical problem, and he could look at the same item, it doesn't present any difficulty.
Mm-hmm. The translation that he done love in Shafakta, what's the whole problem that he...
No, Rabbi Nezal is mentioning, why does it use the word, in other words, why didn't it say ki harbe anoshim horakto? Why does it use the word damim ra, blood?
Yeah.
Why did it have to use that wording? Oh. The answer is the problem is the redness, the din. The problem here wasn't a physical problem, it was a problem with din. Din is red. Or else it could have said ki rabim chalolim horakto. You know, you killed many corpses. Why does it stress spilling blood? That's a mean of the voice and din. Understand?
Franchal, even when it said you can send 100%. That's what you're trying
that to... there is a concept of pigam, no question about
it's
it.
It's so small.
Exactly, but as far as when we talk about it, we refer to them as super pure without any pigam at all. But we learn in Sparim and Zoyrical, the holiest places that say there was some type of pigam. So Rabbi Nezal, this chapter is letting you know, moron, don't think we mean pigam related to anything physical. It means something that's completely out of your reach, something mental and very high up, something you could never understand. Therefore, as far as you're concerned, they're super pure. There was no physical sin whatsoever conceivable.
What's the story? Okay, Achamim is what?
Dam. To show that dam is din. In other words, Yitzra, the Yitzahara, his mokar is in din, in Elohim, and blood is also Ekya, which is din. Go ahead.
Amina is Nukra, and Keser is also Nukra. So how can it be Kesed if it's Nukra?
That's not for now. Factually, Keser is referred to in the Sfilos as Mikvah, and yet there's no din whatsoever there, as we're going to see in a minute. Rabbi Nezal is going to quote a certain item from the Zohar, but it's showing that in Keser there's no din at all. Why, if so, why does it lean a little bit to the left? There's a reason for that. That's not for now. I hear your question. Okay. Next. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'zev d'chinas, this is what the Tikkun Ezer says, Afilu kulei alma ukmo ihu legabi ila soilois. The Tikkun Ezer says that. Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you might be right. You might be right. Just a second. Over there it's talking about Keser. That when we talk about Keser as being so high, pure white, Keser, compared to Hashem himself, in other words, the Oyer Ein Sof, in other words, sometimes we use Keser to refer to as Oyer Ein Sof. Over there, it's referring to Keser as still being part of the ten spheres, so that, compared to Hashem himself, Kaviyachel, the actual Oyer Ein Sof, the Keser Elyon is considered dark compared to it, in comparison. Here he's saying, I wonder, I'm going to have to check it. I'm really curious.
What's
your filu? Filu kula amokma? Yeah. In other words, everything is considered dark compared to ilas
or ilas. Why filu then? Filu kula amokma? Why filu?
All right, could be right. Let's learn it that way for now. Excuse me? Ilas or ilas means the one who is above all else, the infinite of the infinite, sort of, meaning Kaviyachol Hashem himself. That's the highest title in a sense that we use about Hashem himself. Ilas or ilas, the one who is above everything that is high. Okay, meaning, note again, that Kaviyochel, everything, even the Keser, is considered black compared to Hashem himself, meaning that Kaviyochel, Hashem himself, symbolizes pure, pure whiteness, the whitest sense conceivable. By the way, we just had the parsha of Matan Torah, Yisroi, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, this is the whole side, why on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, when we have Matan Torah, we eat dafka ma'achole cholov, dairy, white items, because kaviyochol, that's when Hashem revealed himself to Bnei Israel. Hashem came down on Har Sinai, revealed himself to Bnei Israel, and how did he appear? The Gemara says, kizokein mole rachmim, like a zokein full of rachmanis, meaning very white, a white beard, super white beard. We eat ma'achole cholov bedafka to show that we want to be nichlal in this rachmim elyon, this rachmim gedolim of the antiv of Shavuos, which is Bina. Note again, Bina, Keser, these are always connected. Okay, so now Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Lo yodu v'lo yavinu b'chashecho yishalochu. Those who don't know and don't understand, they walk in the darkness, which means that those who do know where there is Das and where there is Bina, there it's very, very white. Bechinas HaKedusha Shelamala, referring to the highest levels of Kedusha, there's only pure whiteness. So now it says over here, Shehu Ayetzahor Shal Tzadik Magdashim, and now this goes back to what we said before, V'zeh Bechinas Afilu Keser Aliyan Uchme Iyu L'gabi Ilas Ve'ilois, Shehu Hayetzahor Shal Tzadik Magdashim, meaning that the Yetzahor of the Tzadikim Magdashim is this din in the highest places, the tiniest iota of din in their high place is considered a Yetzahor, a concept of Yetzahor, period. Now, let's do this.
Is that what you were referred to as when you said that that even Epoch Kesser is black compared to Hashem? Is that upper din?
No. That's this Bechinas lo yodu v'lo yavinu b'chashecho yisalochu. You understand?
Now you said Shehu Yetzahar Shalat Tzadikim Magdashim.
Exactly.
What that referred to? You said that referred to something?
Is this slight drop of din in their place on high, their very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's do this little piece on the side here for a minute. Vigam lemalo kaviyochol etzlo yizborach. Now Rabbeinu says, let's take this one level, one step further, to the point where we really get daring in a sense. What Rabbeinu says here seems to be very daring in a sense, but if you listen carefully, you'll hear that what Rabbeinu is saying is very true. Rabbeinu says, vigam lemalo kaviyochol etzlo yizborach, even by Hashem himself, Motzinu Bechinas Yetzahora Hanal. We find that the Torah discusses the concept of a Yetzahora even as pertaining to Hashem himself. Kemoy Shedorshu Razal, as the Gemara says, Betchilo Olo Bemachshovo Livro Yesoilam Bemidas Hadin. Originally, when Hashem first thought of creating the world, Kaviyochol Hashem's first thought was to create the world with pure din, harshness. Shezeh Bechinas Yetzahara Kanal. This is the concept of the Yetzahara that we discussed before. A package of din. V'achakach Kaviyochol Shiba Shovar HaYetzahara. And afterwards, Kaviyochol Hashem broke the Yetzahara. V'shitef Midas Rachmim L'Midas Hadin. And Hashem connected Rachmim to the din. It's not that the din was knocked out completely. It says, B'yoyim broy Hashem Elekim Shomayim Voretz. On a day where Hashem, meaning Hashem took the din and he sweetened it by attaching Hashem to it. Yudkei Vavkei. U'mizeh HaKoyach. And because, Kaviyochol, this concept exists by Hashem himself, that there is din and chesed, that's how nishtalshel, this item spirals down, v'nimshach koyach lamato l'shaber es hayetzahara. In other words, the question is a very basic question. An angel, a yetzahara, is a spiritual angel, which is very powerful. It comes from Hashem. Where does a human being draw power to overcome this angel? Where does that power originate from? In other words, who is the first one who overcame this angel, who paved the way for people after him to be able to overcome this angel? The answer is, kaviyochol, it had to be Hashem himself. Hashem, in the act of creating the world, there was a Yetzahara, there was a thought of creating with Kulei Din. Kaviyochol Hashem broke the Yetzahara and created with Chesed. By doing that, kaviyochol Hashem made an opening for people afterwards to be able to come and be mamtik this din. Where should they draw their lesson from? From Hashem himself. Just as the Gemara says, when we ask today for forgiveness of sins, what's one of the best days for a person to pray for forgiveness? Rish Chodesh. We say Zman Kapora L'chol Toidosim. Why? Because Kaviyachol Hashem is the one who paved the way. Hashem made believe that he had committed a sin on Rosh Chodesh. How? By decreasing the size of the moon. Hashem said, bring a carbon to forgive for my sin. And it's, in a sense, it's Hashem's act of tshuva on Rosh Chodesh that allows us to come to have the arrogance, the audacity to come and ask for forgiveness. Here too, how do we conceive of going to battle against this power of Din? The answer is we're trying to hook up to Hashem, who himself does battle against this power of Din, did battle against this power of Din. Ki lulei zois, Rabbi Nezal says, if not for this, lo yehoya koyach l'shavra yitzahara. Where would any human being come upon a thought of defeating this Yetzirah? It's ridiculous. The biggest tzaddik, it would be a ridiculous thought for him to try to overcome something that Hashem created. Hashem created the Yetzirah with a mission to make things impossible for you. So how do you dream of overcoming it? The answer is because Hashem showed you a movie, in a sense, whereby Hashem went to battle against the Yetzirah and defeated him, and by doing that, he set an example for ones who want to emulate Hashem. Tzadikim is dam in Le'etzram. Ones who want to emulate Hashem know that they have to defeat this power of Din. Sweeten the Din. Just as in the beginning of creation there was Din, Hashem sweetened the Din and went ahead with creation of the world. The Din would have caused Ish Bechetoy Yumos, that a person commits one sin, he would have to die. Hashem sweetened the Din and overcame that inclination towards Din. Kaviyachol Hashem had an inclination towards Din originally. That's Yetzirah. When we have an inclination to sleep late, that comes based on this Malach, who's a package of Din. Kaviyachol Hashem had an inclination to create the world with a Din. That's a concept of Yetzirah by Hashem. Hashem overcame it. That's how he set the pace. He set an example for us to be able to do the same. V'chein mavur aloshin zeh b'gemorah. Rabbi Nezal says you find the same terminology used in the Gemara. She'amru sham. The Gemara says in Yuma, he givuras givurasoi. You want to know what the greatness, what the strength of Hashem is? She'kivesh es yitzroi. Hashem overcomes his Yetzirah. Rav Nachman Shirin Zal brings that there are different girsois. You'll find in some places in the Gemara it uses the words shekoyvesh es kasoi. In other places in the Gemara it says shekoyvesh es yitzroi, which means kaviyachol we see the Gemara using the term Yetzirah as applying to Hashem himself, in a sense. Because what is kas? Again, anger is din, Yetzirah. It's the same thing. How? By Hashem containing his anger for Rishoim, that's the Gvuras Gvurasoi. Gvura would mean that a Rasha commits a sin, you smash him. What is Hashem's Gvura? Hashem's Gvura is that Hashem is so strong, Hashem is strong enough to get angry, and then to encircle the anger, to hold in the anger, kaviyachol. That's the gvuras gvurasa of Hashem, to be mamtig din in kaviyachol. There is a concept of kas by Hashem. The Gemara says clearly, kaviyachol, Hashem does get into kas, but there's a concept of aricha sapayim, whereby kaviyachol Hashem is mamtik the din, Hashem overcomes his yetzahara, and that's what gives us any havamina of us on our low level being able to overcome the yetzahara. In other words, Hashem is the one who sets the example for the whole world. Rabbi Nezal says, Nimtza, Nevur Hashem Inyan Anal. So we see that the Gemara there explains this concept, Shema Shehashem Yisborach Kleve Shmidas Hadin. This that Hashem conquers, subdues the Midas Hadin within him, Omarich Apoi, and lengthens his kas. In other words, he draws it out to subdue the anger. Bechinas Shviras Hayetzahora Etzlo Yisborach. That is a concept, kaviyachol, of Hashem breaking his Yetzirah, kaviyachol. In other words, Hashem, in a sense, would be evilly inclined to annihilate the Jews. And yet we find, Vayechal Moshe es Bnei Hashem Elikov, that there is the power of being mamtik, the Yetzirah, getting Hashem, kaviyachol, to strengthen himself a little more. You're so strong, Hashem, that you can kill the Jews? Let's see you be a little stronger and be able to contain your anger. That's a still stronger one. The strongest person isn't the one who's capable of building up a super rage and letting it out. That's strong. In other words, we're not saying that guy's a weakling. We say a person who could get angry enough to punch through a wall, that's a very strong person. You want to see what one is stronger than that is? One who could get angry enough to punch through that wall, and he could punch through the wall, and he doesn't, that's real Gevura. That's super Gevura. That's the greatness of Hashem. And Rab Nosasal points out, "Va'ayin b'zoyar b'kama makayim." Look in the Zohar Kodesh in many places. Shekain muvon amivur. There it's explained throughout. Shebechinas midas hadin hu sheirish bechinas yetzahara. That the concept of din, that's the origin. Where does the yetzahara draw his fuel from? From the midas hadin of Hashem himself. In other words, the Yetzirah in its origin is not a bad item, chas v'shalom, it's a very good item. It starts out from the din within Hashem, which is a good item. But when it spirals down, chas v'shalom, it spirals down into taivos rois and midas rois, which are actual base, bad, negative items.
So I can say a person doesn't really obliterate it, but he controls it.
Exactly. He wrote saying, "Sheyichboish Hashem is kasoi." We don't say that Hashem should annihilate it. Hashem should control it. In kas, we don't say a person is not supposed to have kas, because that's a crime also. You have people who don't have any emotion with them, that's bad. A person's supposed to have emotion, but it has to be super under control. We want Hashem to have kas. For what purpose? Yemincho Hashem tiratzayev. Hashem, we want you to have a good right hook, a good right punch. For what? To smash the enemies, the goyim. When it comes to the yidden, we want you to use your super strength, get angry, want to punch, and then let's see you get still angrier and contain it. That's powerful. Okay, let's just do to the end of this paragraph. It'll take a minute, 2 minutes more. V'chein shloimai hamelech olav ha-shalom, so too by shloimai hamelech, Shenoso Bas Paroi, Venoshim Nochrios Rabois, he married the daughter of Paro, an Egyptian girl, and he married many Goyisha women, naturally after having converted them, but just the fact that he took so many women from the Goyisha nations, Bevadai Loyala Al Had. You're skipping lines. Bevadai loyale al hadas shehoyo mehayetzahora gashmi. Certainly it shouldn't occur, it shouldn't enter into a person's mind that this was in any way related to a physical type of desire. Ki hoyo chochom emes, because the Torah testifies about him that he was an honest to goodness wise man. Kemoshikosav, as the pasuk says, Vayechkam mikol hodom ashapne adomo. Now watch the wording here. Again, every word here is important. Ukvar munach klal biodenu. Rabbi Nizal says, we have an accepted rule that we all know about. Who's we all? Those who study Torah, those who are religious, have an accepted rule among them that everybody knows. Shemi shehu chochom emes ktsas, that a person who has any degree of brains, this specific desire for women doesn't constitute any type of test to him. Even if a super beautiful woman will try to seduce him, b'mokim seiser, in a hidden place, sheyia biyodoi lamalei sataivo, where the person will have the actual opportunity completely to satisfy this desire, who etzloi rak shtus v'shigoyen, he would laugh at it. In other words, it doesn't constitute, it's not like there builds up a hot blood and he has to contain it. In a sense, it's like nothing. Just a minute, I know what you're about to ask. Just a minute. Yosef HaTzadik, is that your question?
Besides that, there was in the Gemara another tzaddik, and he was in the test, and he burned out his eyes.
Right, just a second. This, that the Torah seems to make a big deal about the fact that Yosef HaTzadik passed the test, where it got so hard and everything, and he passed the test. Yesh boze soid. Rabbi Nezal says, don't think that you understand what's going on there. There's a secret related to that. There's secret information related to that. It's not as simple as it appears. Ve'ikar hanisoyoin bebechinas hanal. And the only test that's related to this topic is what we said before. Bebechinas hamtokas hagvurais. Related to the sweetening of certain harshness above. Lenatzeach hayetzahora shelemalo. To defeat the yetzahora up on high, a certain spiritual type of Yetzirah. Avoloi lenatzeach ha-Yetzirah gashmi. This has nothing to do with defeating a physical desire for this physical woman. Shezeh einoi nisoyin klau. To one who is a chacham ho-emes, this is no test whatsoever. V'chein ma shepogam shloimoi lo yehoyo rak bebechina zukanal. And if you find that the Gemara and the Sifrei Kabbalah say that there was a pigam by Shlomo HaMelech and that he took these women, it's not related to any physical type of desire or sin whatsoever.
It's something that's related to these hamtoka sadinim from above. Nothing to do with physical desire. So that when we read that story in the Gemara, and it presents it in a manner where we read it, it looks to us like it's talking about that the physical desire for this woman made him get so hot. Chas v'shalom to believe that. We're talking about tanoim, ones who are able to perform tchias anesim. Let the biggest rabbi today try to perform tchias anesim. He can't do it. Why? He doesn't have the holiness, in a sense, that they had in those days back to be able to perform such a super type of miracle in the open. If they were so super holy that they were able to do that, what's pshat holy? When we say they were holy, holy means what? Holy means that they burned out that animal within them. That Yetzer Hara was burned out, destroyed, there was no trace whatsoever. So therefore it can't mean what it seems to mean in the Gemara. It must mean something on a much higher level that we don't understand. Rabbeinu, I'll give you the example of Yosef Atzadik, which many of the Sforim make a big deal over. You know, to say that he passed the test, and they seem to present it in a manner, he passed the test with a woman, she wanted him, and this, and everything. Rabbeinu says, take it from me, I know what it says there, and I'm telling you that there's a secret related to that that you don't understand. You'll learn more, you'll understand more deeply, you'll understand that it's not as simple as it appears.
Yeah. A person who never saw the Lakutei Moran, and he sees all this in the Gemara, and he sees all this in the Chumash and everything, and he says, well, it seems that it says that he did an Avera, and I'm just believing what the Torah says. Now, yeah, it's the person who says something like that, but...
Person who says something like that, Rachmana Litzlan, gets punished. You know why? There are certain IBM manuals where on the front cover it says three words. Three very important words. What are the words? The second word is study. What's the first word?
Independent study.
Independent study program. You're not going to find any chumash or sefer of religion that says on it independent study program. The Torah is not an independent study program. For the Torah, a person is required to have a Rebbe, and that alone isn't enough either. That's a joke, because 99.9% of the Rabbonim are going to teach it that way. The person is responsible to seek out a Rebbe Emes. In other words, you're not dealing with COBOL here, where any banana face can teach it. You're dealing with Torah. This is spiritual. You're going to take any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street and tell him to teach. Just like, let's say, to teach you a complicated item in programming, you wouldn't get an Abed to teach it to you. You would get someone who has some degree of brains if he's going to teach you something complex. Obviously, this one isn't capable of understanding something complex. When it comes to learning Torah, it's the person's responsibility to understand that this is so big an item. Obviously, you don't take any dunce off the street and make him your Rebbe. You have to pick one who you see is very pure and religious himself. He looks like what Hashem would want a rabbi to look like. And then whatever he teaches you, that's what you believe. And if the person messes up on any part, meaning on looking properly, in other words, taking the effort, putting out the effort, traveling miles all over the world, whatever he has to do to find this Rebbe Emes, or... if once he finds a rabbi and he tries him out and he knows that this rabbi isn't that good, but what should I do? I'm not going to go looking for 50. And he sticks with that one, although he knows that that's not the MS, that's his fault to a degree. Person is required, responsible, to go seek out a Rebbe MS, one in whom you have complete confidence that whatever he's teaching you is really the word of Hashem, the way Hashem would want it to be taught. And a person who finds that is the luckiest person in the world. A person who doesn't find it has to look. Moshe says it's worth looking, spending a whole lifetime looking. Even if you don't find it, at least you can say, Hashem, I thought that this was important enough to dedicate my whole life to looking for this item. But a person who just displays a laziness in not wanting to look for it, that's what you get punished for, Chas v'shalom. Why were you lazy? Why didn't you look for it?
If somebody even goes to the Zerika, that she wouldn't find where it says this.
You see, Zerika would say pigam in a sense, and you don't know how to define it. You need a Rebbe. You can't read these Sforim on your own. You need a Rebbe to give you basic beliefs in Torah and in religion. But then when you go read these Sforim, you won't be misguided. Proof is, and again, you can't claim ignorance, because the Gemara itself tells you, you know what this is? It's poison. The Gemara says about itself, I want you to know that these books are poisonous. The Samtem, the Gemara says in Yuma, that this book can take on one of two forms, either Samchaim or some others. Which idiot hears that and doesn't select a very, very good doctor
to be able to administer this item properly where it can cure. In other words, you take certain, what is a vaccine? You go to a doctor to get a vaccine. What's a vaccine? He takes the germs, a vaccine, let's say, against the certain sicknesses. He takes a drop of that sickness, puts it into you, and because he administers it in the right degrees, that's what cures you. Would you go to another doctor and tell him, well, give me 3 pounds of this thing? In other words, if an ounce cures, give me a dozen. Give me 3 pounds. You'll die from it, right? The Torah itself warns you that that's what this is. It's dynamite. It's poison. It can kill. You need someone, a doctor, who's capable of administering it in the right dosage. Then you'll see that it'll be medicine. It'll actually cure you. Rifus kulam sacha. And if not, chas v'shalom is
there. So before Rabbi Nizal came out with this chiddush, somebody was learning this before Rabbi Nizal's time. What was the amunah supposed to be?
The Ariza, the tzaddikim throughout, from the beginning of time, had this amunah. Rabbi Nizal isn't coming out with a brand new chiddush here. He's presenting it in his sefer. The Ariza certainly believed this way. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoizal certainly believed this way 100%. That's what? Yeah, but the Gemara there, right where it says that whoever says he sins, says it wasn't really a sin because there's these and these excuses, but it was this and this. So Rabbi Nizal here is saying, even on the butt, I'm not going to let you get away with it. Even the butt, don't you dare think that it's a physical butt, it's a ruchnius butt. That's what he's stressing. If you look over there in the Gemara, I don't remember, we had it when we gave the shir about the Shepet of Gazal. I mentioned exactly what the Gemara says there. I don't remember this minute that the Gemara said about Shomer Nafshi Ki Chosidoni. The Gemara says he didn't do this, but he did this wrong. Even in that, he should know that it wasn't related to physical time at all. There's a question of Hamtokas Adinim. There was a mistake in that. Nothing within a physical level.
That's talking about